Okay, Parshas Vayeshanan. Sorry for the late hour. The Rabbeinu Chai begins the Parsha in with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yates, Pasuk in Zayin of Malvei Hashem, Chonin Dol, the one who lends to Hashem, gives money to poor people, Gmulo Yishalim Lo, and his reward will be repaid to him. So, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, says the Rabbeinu Chai, that Hashem loves poor people, because an usher looks to his friends, an usher, rich people have tons of friends, poor people, not as much. Poor people's eyes are to Hashem, Hashem loves them, and therefore if you give money to an ani, it's because you love Hashem, and Hashem is happy that you gave someone he loves, so he'll want to pay you back. So Hashem will pay you back. And we find, as later we'll find in this week's parasha, you can test Hashem when it comes to giving tzedakah. Nothing else. No, by all other mitzvahs, you can't say, I'm gonna see if I should do these mitzvahs, see if it works out for me when I do mitzvahs, if I get rich or whatever, or things go well. You're not allowed to do that, except by tzedakah. You can give tzedakah to see and test Hashem that he'll give you back. Anyway, but the Rabbeinu Bachai points out the Lashon of Chanina. It says, if you give money to a poor man, it's called Chonein, and not Merachim. Not merciful to a poor person. Chonein. That's Miloshon Chanina. Chanina comes from the word matnas chinam, to give for free. Give something to someone that they don't deserve. So that's giving money to a poor person is obviously that you don't owe them the money. So that's a free gift. So it's mitam that mida, because, and that we're trying to be like Hashem, because Hashem gives us all the good we have from Hashem is all chinam. And not only that, Hashem gives it to us. Well, Hashem gives it to us even though we don't deserve it. That's his midas mashpia tuvo to the brios, even though we don't deserve it. So we have to be like Hashem. Therefore, we have to give tzedakah. Also, when you daven to Hashem, you're only answered with the idea of chanin of matnas chinam, because we don't deserve anything. And Hashem gives us even what we don't deserve, because we daven. So that's how we start the parsha Vayeshanan al Hashem. That's why Moshe used the words Vayeshanan to matnas chinam, to be answered that he should get into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu in his tefillah says, "Ata hachilosa laharosas avdachas gad l'cha." Moshe is trying to daven to Hashem that he should let him into Eretz Yisrael, and he says that you began, hachilosas comes from the beginning. You began to show your servant your greatness. So what did he mean with this "Ata hachilosa"? So he says Rabbeinu Bachai, many times he says this, that the main Torah is only in Israel, right? The Ramban says the same thing in a couple, certainly one place. But the Rabbeinu Bachai says many, many times that the main place for Torah is only in Israel. That doesn't mean you're not mechuyev to do mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. You are, unless it's a davar hatali baretz. A mitzvah satliyas baretz, a mitzvah that has to do with the land, so that's only the land of Israel. The mitzvahs that have nothing to do with land, like put on tefillin, so that a person has to do even if they're outside of Eretz Israel. However, the ikker place for all mitzvos is really in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, the Rabban says some lashon like we're only keeping Torah here so that we don't forget what it's like to keep mitzvos when Mashiach comes. But whatever it is, I mean, we min haTorah have to keep the mitzvos, but the main place for mitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Moshe says, "Ata hachilosa," you started giving the mitzvos. In other words, we didn't really do it because we didn't get into Eretz Yisrael. And since you started, Hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor, I started the mitzvah, I want to finish it, so let me go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the lesson of Ata Achilosa. It's another thing the Medrash brings, which is interesting, I don't know what to do with it, but the Medrash says, Ata Achilosa, it's as if Moshe is somehow, Kaviyachal, saying, you started. Because why did Moshe get punished? Because he got angry and he said, Shimuna Hamorim. And he says, but you Hashem Ata Achilosa, you said, Mishmeres Os Libnei Meri. We should put it aside for the B'nai Mary. So you called them B'nai Mary first. Well, I'm not sure what that midrash means to say, but it's just interesting, so I'm mentioning it. Okay, then we have the Rabbeinu Bachai goes into a discussion of the directions. Because the Pasuk in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin, says, Yama Tzafono V'Seimano Mizracha, west, north, south, and east. So the Torah has different words for all the different directions. And he explains why that is, or what they each mean. He also points out that often when the Torah lists the four directions, it doesn't go in the same order. And there's a reason for that. Here we start with Yama, the west. That's because the Shechinah is in the west. He says when Moshe talks and when Yaakov talks, it says Yama, other places has different orders. There's a reason for all that. But anyway, what's the reason for the different names? So he says, let's start with the east. The east is called in the Torah Mizrach. It's called Kedem. It's called Pnim, or Panim, whatever. So, Panim. So, Mizrach, why is the east called Mizrach? Because that's where the Shemesh is Zoreach, where it's where the sun rises. So that's why it's called Mizrach. Kedem, because it's Makdim, the sun comes out at the beginning from the east, that's why it's called Kedem as well. And Panim, that's because Chazal tells us that man was created in that way. Man was created facing east. So his face is east, so that's why the east is called Panim. His back was to the west, so the west is sometimes called Achor. And the north is called Yamin, because if you're facing east, your right hand, when I say the south is called Yamin, and the left is called, the north is called left. South is right, north is left, because if you're standing facing east, your right hand is facing south, and your left hand is facing north. Now, Ma'ariv, west is also called Ma'ariv, because that's when Hatsuros Misarvos, things tend to get mixed together, you can't see as well. So that's Ma'ariv. Yam is, it's also is south, west is called Yam, because the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea, is in the west of Eretz Yisrael. South is called Negev, because it is Naguv. It's dry. The south is hot and dry. Now, of course, this means, the south, everything's about the equator, right? So the north and south are really the same. It's just that the north, there's more land in the north, so we view the north generally as colder and the south as warmer, because most of the land in the south is warm because it's closer to the equator, and much of the northern hemisphere is colder, meaning the land in the northern hemisphere is more north, so it's colder. So, but the bottom line is the fact is where human beings live on land, the south is hot, the north is cold. So Negev is Naguv, it's dry there, and Tzofon is that the sun is hidden in the north, is called Tzofon. That's because the sun is hidden there. It's as if it's hidden because it's cold. Okay. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachai says a fascinating thing. Hashem tells Moshe that he can't go into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't just, Rabbeinu Bachai points out, it wasn't just his body didn't go in. Meaning, it's not just Moshe didn't walk into Eretz Yisrael alive. Moshe didn't walk into Eretz Yisrael even dead. Remember, he's buried outside of Israel. That's something that didn't, you know, wouldn't necessarily have had to been. Even if Moshe was supposed to be punished that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, maybe his coffin could have gone in, like Yaakov. Right? Yaakov was, his bones were brought back to Israel. Why couldn't Moshe's bones have been brought back to Israel? But, so Rabbeinu Bachai says that Hashem had two reasons why he didn't want Moshe's bones to go into Eretz Yisrael either. One is lechvod all the other people from his generation who didn't make it in either. In other words, all the people died in the Midbar, right? All those, the Jews from the times of the Meraglim, who died over the 40 years in the desert, their bones didn't make it into Israel either. And Hashem wanted their Rebbe to be with them. And not only that, the second thing the Rabbeinu Bachai says is that all of the people from all the generations who died in the Golus, so maybe they'd be afraid, if Moshe was buried in Israel, everyone like that, you would think, okay, people who are buried outside of Israel aren't necessarily going back in one day. So therefore Hashem made it that Moshe would be buried outside of Israel to let you know, just like we know when Tchias HaMisim comes, Moshe, even though he's buried in Chutz Aretz, is going to come back. So to all the people brought who are buried in Chutz Aretz, they'll all come back. So it's the Chvod, the people who died in the time of the Midbar, and he says the Chvod, all the people who died in Chutz Aretz, that they'll all come back just like Moshe will. This idea is, it's not just, it's a beautiful idea for Rabbeinu Bachai, but it's based on the Midrash Tanchuma, like much of what Rabbeinu Bachai brings is from Midrash Tanchuma, Midrash, whatever. That idea is a beautiful idea. It's based on Midrash Tanchuma. Okay. then he talks about that it says, "Vata Yisrael Shema Lachukim Vela Mishpatim Asher Nochim Vela Meid Eschem Lasos Laman Tichyu." He just points out. But Chazal tell us that the Iker of Torah is action, not the learning, as it says, "Vela Meid Eschem Lasos." I'm teaching you to do. So Lo Amidashu Iker La Maisa. The main thing is the Asiya. The Iker, I should say, is the Asiya. Not necessarily what you get more schar for, but that's the Iker, is the Asiya. So that's what that means. And then we say that by keeping the mitzvos, this will be chachmaschem leinei hagoyim. If you keep the Torah, you'll see, if you keep the chukim, the mishpatim, kasher tziv Hashem, that'll be chachmaschem evinaschem leinei ha'amim. So now here you can ask a question, what does that mean? That it is your chachme leinei hagoyim. So the mishpatim you get, right, if they see we're doing smart stuff. In other words, we don't kill, we don't steal. We're following those kinds of mitzvahs, mishpatim. So then we understand why it would be chachmasim le'enei agoyim. Why the goyim would say, oh, these guys have good laws. But keeping chukim, that's like keeping kashrus and shatnez and things like that. Why would that show that we're so smart? Or the Rashi always brings, the goyim make fun of us that we keep those mitzvahs. Because they have no reason that we can understand. So, Rabbeinu Bachai says, because when you see that the people are keeping all these mishpatim, all the mitzvahs that make a lot of sense, then you'll assume that the other stuff they do, even though you don't understand it, must be good too. That's why we'll look really smart. And if you look in Drash HaSaran on this week's parasha, he says it, at least in a way, it's clearer to me. In other words, it makes you look really smart. It's not just you look smart doing the chukim, you actually look super smart. Because like Duran explains, if you, if you do something that everybody can figure out, you're regular. If you do something nobody else figured out, then you're a genius. So, right? So if everybody sees you doing the mishpatim, so they see you're smart, and they see you do smart things, and then they see you doing something they don't understand at all, they think, wow, this guy must like know stuff we don't understand at all. And the way the Ran explains it is when he sees that because of doing the chukim, Hashem Shechina is with us, they'll say, oh wow, they're really smart. Because the Rebbeinu Bachai doesn't speak all that out, but he just says this idea that once the people see you keeping the mishpatim and how wise and great and tzaddikim the nation is, then they'll figure out that the chukim must be a good for us, good things too. And then it says, Raki Shamar Lecha, don't forget the Torah. That is to say, that whatever maila, this is interesting, whatever maila we have over the Gayim, it's because of the Torah. Right? Yidin, whatever positive stereotype you have about Yidin, it's because of the Torah. Smart and all this, whatever Milas Hashem sends us in general, it's all because of the Torah. Therefore, do not forget the Torah. That's why it comes after that. Rakisham Lacha, don't forget the Torah, because all your Milas that we are from the Torah. Okay, and then it says, do not do Avodah Zarah. And when speaking about don't do Avodah Zarah, so the Pasuk says, it's talking about when you serve Avodah Zarah there, you'll be serving Eitz Ve'Even, Asher Lo Yiron, do not see, V'lo Yishmu, do not hear, V'lo Yochlun, do not eat, V'lo Yirichun, and do not smell. So, those are the four senses. Now you'll tell me there are five senses, but Rabbeinu Bachai says, Chazal always call it four, because taste and touch are very close. So those are one group. And that's why I was always put together as four. So he just quotes from the from Chachmei HaMechkar, I think he said. So the four senses, which are the most important? Sight or hearing, what's more important? Again, let's call them four. Taste and touch is one. So is it sight, hearing, smell, or taste and touch for survival, let's say, to live? Which do you need the most? So Hashem put it in the Bria, out of Chachmas HaBria, is that a person can, you're right, touch and taste, that's all immediate. Your whole body can feel, but that's only right up against you. Smell, you could do a little further away from you, you could smell something further away. Hear, you could hear something even further away. See, you could see something even further, right? You see the farthest, then hear, then smell, then touch. He says, because for survival, that's the most important. You know, the thing you need the most is your sight, then what you hear, then what you smell, then what you feel. So in that order, that's why you have them, each one you could do further away, based on how important it is. It's just like a Shara Bechina type thing, that you see the chesed that Hashem created the world with, whatever was best for us, for what we needed. Then the Rebbeinu Bechai makes a fascinating ha'ara. It says in the pasuk that when you'll be in the Gaiusha lands, and you'll serve like these the Avodah Zarah, it's a Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Tes, it says, Uvikashtem, it's all in plural, Avadatam Shama Lohim Acherim, Asher Elishim, Uvikashtem Yishamas Hashem Lekecha, you will search for Hashem your God there, Umatzasa, and you singular will find it. Kisid Rishenu Mechalavamcha Mechalavshach, so all of a sudden, as they say, mitten derin, in the middle of the Pasuk, we switch from the plural to the singular. Vikashtem Yishamas Hashem Lekecha, all, the Pasuk before was all plural, and now we have Umatzasa. So why did it switch to the singular? Ben Amchais is a beautiful idea to let you know that you might think that Hashem only, when you're in Chutz La'aretz, you know, you're further away from Hashem. And therefore, you would think maybe Hashem only listens to Klal Yisrael as a whole in Chutz La'aretz. But to an individual, maybe Hashem's not paying attention to an individual in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, it says, Umatzasa, you individual, even if you personally do tshuva in Chutz La'aretz, Hashem is still interested and will accept it. And listens to your tefillos. Okay, then we have that pasuk of you will be eventually v'hashivosa el levavecha. You return it to your heart. That Hashem is Hashem. That's the pasuk from Malinu. V'yatata yom v'hashivosa levavecha Hashem Elokim v'hashamayim al v'hashivtachas miyadot. So Rabbeinu Bechai says a big chiddush that some others say as well, like the Chovetz HaLevavos says this as well, who's also Rabbeinu Bechai, although not the same Rabbeinu Bechai. Anyway, it says, V'yadata yom v'shavosel levecha, so the Rabbeinu Bechai here, in Rabbeinu Bechai, says that V'yadata yom zechiyav lachkor, that you're supposed to believe in Hashem's yichud, not because you have a Kabbalah like that, but because you were a choker, you delved into it, you figured it out on your own, you thought about it, that Hashem is one. Certainly not everyone agrees to that, but that's what he says. And then, v'ashivosa el levavecha. What does that mean, v'ashivosa el levavecha? You have to return it to your heart, because he says, to understand Hashem, obviously you can't understand Hashem's atzmuso. So, v'ashivosa el levavecha means something that you have to think about and keep thinking about. Not just enough to get it, you have to return it to your heart. Keep thinking about it, because it's a thing a person can't ever understand. And understanding Yichud Hashem, the way he explains it, I think I'm going to explain a little bit similar to how the Ramchal explains the idea of Yichud Hashem. All it is what Hashem is not. Yichud just means, you know, the more you understand Hashem's, that the Ramchal writes that that's the only meaning that we can fully understand from Hashem or connect to Yichud, because it's what Hashem is not. Hashem is not anything other than one. So Hashem is not this, he's not that, he's not the other. He's not two, he's just not everything, he's the other thing, he's one. So, thinking about Yichud Hashem, that's what a person can think about, that Hashem is not this and not the other. So, like, for example, Hashem is one. So, let's say humans are not, even though we're all unique, we all have separate fingerprints, but we're not one. We're made up of zillions of different parts. And even, he says, even Malachim, which are made up of not zillions of parts, they're made up of nothing. And in others, that they don't change. Okay, the Chazal described what, their wings and stuff like this. That's not a physical reality. By everything he says, even let's say Malachim, so there are ones that are greater than the other, this one's greater than that one. Hashem is Echad. He is the greatest, the uniquest, not parts of anything. So all of our understanding of Hashem, again, is what he is not, and that's where it's for V'hashivos HaLevecha, that Hashem is Elokim, everywhere. And Einod is that there is nothing else. So again, that's what Chazal tell us, that when we think about Yichud Hashem, like Balio, it says, Lo Beruach, Lo Be'esh, everything Hashem is not. Hashem is not. Rather, what you have called the Mama Daka, which, as the Rabbi Bechai explains, just means you have nothing. We can't understand it. It's what he's not. He's not this, he's not that, he's not the other, he's Yachid. Okay. Then we have the story of, it says that Moshe started, set aside the Ari Miklat. And he says here, you see how important mitzvos are, that Moshe, even though he knew he was going to be making Ari Miklat that would not function until he was dead, he wanted to be involved in even something of a mitzvah, half a mitzvah, because the mitzvos are so so chashuv. And it starts with the when it describes the Ari Miklat. So the first one, it says, it's Betzer Bamidbar Beretz Hamishar Lo Ruveni. The first one is to Ruven. The first Ari Miklat is Betzer from Ruveni. So why did it start with the Ari Miklat from Ruven? So, not negative, like we used to hear. It's positive. It's Ruven got the first Ari Miklat, because who's the first person involved in Hatzalas Nefashos? Okay, well, you can make an argument about Noach, I suppose. But that was for Tshuva. But who actually went to save lives? So, Reuven, right? Yosef was thrown down in the pit, and Reuven came, Ayatzileim Yadam. So he's the first one to save people from Rotzchim. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Truth is, Avram went to save Lot, or whatever. Okay, but anyway, this type of thing, he was thrown in a pit, and Reuven saved him from those who were coming to murder him, so that's why he gets the first Ari Miklat named for him, with his name. Then we have the Torah telling us to remember the keep the mitzvos v'zacharta ki evra yisa b'mitzrayim al kain tivcha, right? With this is in the Aseret HaDibros, but it's telling us to keep the Shabbos. It says you should keep the Shabbos, and your animals and your servants should keep the Shabbos, and you should remember ki evra yisa b'mitzrayim. You used to be an evra b'mitzrayim. Hashem took you out of there. Therefore, Hashem commanded you to make this Shabbos. What's the therefore? Because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, Hashem told you to keep Shabbos. So you could interpret that different ways. Rabbeinu Bechai sounds like he's interpreting that through Yetzias Mitzrayim, you see that Hashem created the world and runs the world, and therefore, because of that, you should keep the Shabbos. Whereas you could have said it's because you should keep the Shabbos because I took Adam Mitzrayim and I said so. He seems to understand Alkein Sivcha, since by Yetzias Mitzrayim you saw that I run the world, therefore you should keep Shabbos because that reminds you, that's the you remember that I created the world. But we're going to get back a little bit to that later. Okay, we also have the Parsha of Shema in this week's Parsha. So again, we have this Yichud, Shema Yisrael Shem Akinu Hashem Achad. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says the Lashon Shema is one that means spaced in. So, if you've been spaced out till now, space in. Shema means to space in. So, not just hear, but hear, hazin, maybe just to hear without understanding what you're hearing. Shema means to hear and understand. So that's Shema. The person, Shema, you saw that Hashem is our king, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And he says the ayin and the dalet are larger, the ayin of the Shema and the dalet of Echad and the Torah are larger, because that spells aid, witness. So you would think, I think the Pashup Shad, we understand that as we're a witness. But Rabbeinu Bechai says, it's because Hashem is a witness to whether you're spaced in. Meaning, you have to be thinking that when you say Shema, that about what you're saying. Hashem lokin, Hashem echad. And Hashem is the aid to know whether you're thinking about what you're saying. Then we have V'yahavta. Rabbeinu Bechai asks a fascinating question. It says, you should love Hashem. V'yahavta says Hashem lokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'miyadacha. Love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your money. What does it mean to... Why does it say to love Hashem? As if that's not hard enough. The Rabbeinu Bechai wants it to say, why didn't it say v'chashakta? Because he says, cheshek and ava, totally different things. Ava is to love. Cheshek is to be, like, wrapped up and, you know, obsessed with. So he says, v'havta, I don't know, you love your kids. Chashakta, you know, he says, someone you love, so you think about you love them, you think about them sometimes. But someone who you are choshek to, you think about them always. In other words, when you're sleeping, you're not thinking about your kids. When you're eating, you're not thinking about your kids, even though you love your kids. When you're obsessed with someone, so then you dream about them, you think about them when you're eating, that's obsessed. Choshek, totally attached. So why doesn't the Torah say v'chashakta? So he says, because choshek would mean giving away, not being involved in worldly things at all, totally obsessed with Hashem, and that's not shaykh in this world, because we have to live. But that's what he says, that cheshek is like the Mises Nashika that tzaddikim die from. The dying of Mises Nashika, that's cheshek. They're completely obsessed with Hashem, so that their neshama leaves their body. That's cheshek, and we can't do that, because we have to live. So it says, v'yahavta. And just an interesting medrash, he also says, it says, Shema, We said Nasa v'nishmet Har Sinai, and then when we did the Egel, we lost the Nasa. We lost the we will do because we didn't do. So we have to keep the Nishma. That's I think it's a medrash that we should. That's why you have the Shema. Then we have the Bechal Levavach, Bechal Levavcha, Bechal Nafsha, Bechal Miodacha. So Bechal Levavcha, what does it mean Bechal Levavcha, both all your heart? So it sounds like Rabbi Ben Bechai says because the heart is the thing that begins life and ends life. That's the first aver that is life, and that ends life last. That's the aver that dies last. That's the thing that. So in other words, the Torah is telling you, with all your heart means with every second of your life, because even if the rest of the body dies, as long as the heart's alive, the person's alive. That's certainly what it sounds like. I don't think you could prove necessarily from Agadata. The halachic definition of death, but that's certainly what it sounds like here from the Rebbeinu Bechai, that b'chol levavcha, because the heart dies last, therefore with every last second of a person's life while they're still alive, they should be loving Hashem. B'chol me'odecha, with all your money, that a person shouldn't be worried when they spend money on a mitzvah, because that's what a person's supposed to do. And then he says an interesting thing, that b'chol levavcha, b'chol navshcha, b'chol me'odecha, are connected to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Something to keep in mind when you say it, that Levachol Levavcha is Avram, who made Hashem beloved upon people, he spread Hashem's word and loved Hashem. Bechol Nafshecha Yitzchak, who gave up his life at the Akedah, was willing to give up his life. And Bechol Meodecha, that's Yaakov, who gave up his money. And the pasuk he brings for that is that it says, Aserah, I got the pasuk right. I think it's Aserah Asrenelach. Yaakov says that if Hashem saves him, he'll give money to tzedakah. He gave a tenth. He gave a miser. It's in the beginning of Vayetze. Cholashay titin li Aserah Asrenelach. Okay. And then we have Hishamer lecha. Oh, let me not forget. It says V'dibarta bam, which means that a person should speak in Torah. And he says, V'dibarta bam, it's bekol. When a person learns, it's supposed to be learning Torah with bekol as opposed to tefillah, which is quiet. Torah is supposed to be learned bekol. And then the pasuk, later on in the parasha, gives us Musar and says that when you have bat malayim kal tov and you got a lot of money, yishar melechah b'tishkech as Hashem lekecha, don't forget to not forget Hashem. Mashiach tziyacham eretz Yisrael mi'savodim, he took you out of Mitzrayim. So the remembering of Yetzias Mitzrayim when you get rich, the reason why it says Mitzrayim is you have to remember that you didn't used to be rich. In other words, when a person's feeling very comfortable with themselves and happy and rich and satisfied, they may come to forget Hashem. So you have to remind yourself, where did you come from? You came from Mitzrayim. You used to be slaves in Egypt. So look where you are now. You have to thank Hashem. So to a person in their own life, if they're feeling rich, or, and they might come to forget Hashem, they have to remind themselves, was everything in your life always great? If the person got married, did they always, was it always clear they were going to get married? They have kids, it was clear they're going to have kids, they have money, a job, everything. Usually most people don't start off with everything perfect. So if a person's feeling so great, they should remember, did they always used to be great? And they have to thank Hashem at all times for everything that Hashem gives them. Then they'll come to not forget Hashem. And he points a pasuk in Koheles that says, "Biyom tova haye b'tova, biyom ra'a re'e." It says, "In the times of good, be good, and in the times of bad, see." So the way the Rebbeinu Bechai explains that is, on the good day, you could be good, but remember the bad day as well. Like biyom ra'a re'e, but look to the bad day as well, so you don't come to forget Hashem. And just almost lastly, Ki Yishlacha Bincha, and it's going along, but it's a very long parsha in the Beit HaBachai. It says, Ki Yishlacha Bincha Leimor, when your son asks you, why are we keeping this Torah? And you tell him, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Right, the pasuk says, Ki Yishlacha Bincha Leimor, Ma Ha'edos V'chukim V'mishpatim. What are these Edos, Chukim, V'mishpatim? Rabbi Bechai asks, he's asking, why do I have to keep them? So, V'amar Televincha Avadam Yino L'parim B'mitzrayim, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem showed us Sayitin also Samovsim Bugdolim, so we owe Hashem, plus he showed him that he's Hashem running the world. And all the mitzvahs he gave us is Latov Lanu Kol Hayamim L'chayusinu Kayom Azeh. They're good for us to give us life. So what does that mean? Latov Lanu Kol Hayamim. Kol Hayamim refers to Olam Haba. Because whenever it says Yamim, it refers to Olam Haba. As it says, Mi'ehi shachafetz chayim ohev Yamim liros tov, that refers to Olam Haba. And L'chay Yusein HaKayim says, it's good in this world as well. And then lastly, we have the Isser of Lo Sichanim. The Torah mentions here, Lo Sichanim is Lo Sitin Lehem Matnas Chinam. Chazal make many drushes of the word Lo Sichanim. Lo Sitin Lehem Chaniya Bakarka. But there's all kinds of drushes of the word Lo Sichanim based on how you put the nekudos. The Reina Bechai just points out the reason why the Torah had to be written without nekudos, which you would have thought would have been a good idea. Why wasn't the Torah Sefer Torah? Why isn't the Sefer Torah written with nekudos? Because we need to be able to make different drushes based on different kinds of nekudos. That's part of the Torah, that the drushes we make are based on different kinds of nekudos. You know, putting nekudos in different ways make the word mean a different thing. So Chazal make all those drushes. That's part of the Torah, therefore the Torah to be written without nekudos. Have a good Shabbos.